welcome back.
Only go 11 seconds.
Dreams were your 11? Ticket out.
I think it's only 11 seconds.
Welcome back.
Yeah,
they're not listening. Cotter's not listening.
No, he's not. Mr. Cotter.
Mr. Cotter.
Mr. Cotter.
Well, the names have all changed since you hung around.
You know we're back.
Yeah, welcome back.
I'll be back. Remember?
Yep.
Schwarzenegger.
I didn't know I was going to say that, did you?
I'll be back. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
I'll be back. Skeletor.
Skeletor.
Master Universe. It's good.
It's good.
Was that the first movie you can remember seeing a post-credit scene on? Because that's the first one I can remember.
What, Master of the Universe?
Yeah, 1987 Master of the Universe.
You know, I couldn't honestly say. I don't have any recollection.
I think that's the first one I remember a post-credit scene on. I mean, there may have been other ones before that, but it's the first one that sticks out to me.
Well, that if it's the first one that you remember, then it is the first one you remember.
It's the first one I remember.
If you can't remember any others,
yeah, I
it
mean,
is the
it's
one
possible that I saw, what I'm saying is like, it's possible that I saw other ones before
right.
that, but it's, what, it's the only one I can remember.
What, time-wise, can you think of any films before that?
Now, looking back at it?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think so. Like,
I can't think of any myself.
I'm trying to think about it here, and...
Oh, I forgot my list. Keep them busy.
All right, that's cool. Yeah, you know, I'll bet there's some kind of Wikipedia article or something like that on post-credit scenes. It's so commonplace now, but back then it was different. I remember sitting through the VHS copy I had and waiting for that Skeletor scene every time.
I'm back.
Yeah.
Are you going to welcome me back? Or?
Hey, welcome back, man.
Thanks.
Whew. Okay, so yeah, it's been a few weeks now.
It's been a few weeks. It seems like forever,
weeks.
Really.
It does feel like forever.
Sorry, everybody.
We had a lot of things going on.
This has been a crazy couple weeks. There's
vacation been, Bible school.
Too many things.
For the kids.
Too many things.
You had that party, and...
I have a friend from out of town.
You ran into trouble with the law for a while there.
I got in trouble with the law.
Yeah. Away for a while there. There was that whole retreat, that business retreat I had to go on.
Yeah.
It's been really busy.
It's been a lot of things. There was the redecorating,
all that.
The move.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was that trip to Kroger you had to make.
That was an ordeal.
That was tough, man.
I don't even want to have to talk about that.
Speaking of which.
Yeah?
Check this out, man. Kroger is doing this thing now where it's, what's it called? The checklist or something? I don't know exactly what it's called.
Yeah.
I hate grocery shopping.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I don't enjoy it at all. It's rough, too, when you have kids. Because the kids definitely don't want to be at the grocery store.
No.
They don't want to be standing and waiting for...
That's why they have toy aisle there.
It is, but, I mean, you got to keep them wrangled. You got to keep everybody together.
You can't stay only in the toy aisle.
You got to go to the groceries, too. Especially now that we have Gracie, too, you can't keep her in the cart as much because she just wants to sit in the cart the whole time. Plus, we need the cart for the groceries.
Duct tape.
So Bobby discovered this thing at Kroger that they do where you shop online, shop for all your groceries... Mm-hmm. They get them all for you.
Mm-hmm.
You print out the sheet. You go and you park in the spot. You hit a little button on the call thing. Say, this is my order. They bring the groceries out to you. They've shopped for you.
Mm-hmm.
If there was anything they were missing, they bring you a sheet and they say, we substitute this item for this item. The substitutions are never of a lesser value. If they are, I take that back. They're not never of a lesser value. But if they are a lesser value, you get charged less. If it's they substitute for a nicer item, they'll go for that first, but you pay the same amount as the thing you paid for before. All this stuff, it takes like 15 minutes. It costs $4.
I bet the people at Kroger love that.
They were so nice.
They have to be nice.
They were so nice. The people that brought it out were so nice. And you know, it's a benefit for Kroger,
though. Which Kroger? Did you go to the Kroger one up here?
There's only certain ones that do it.
Oh, okay.
I went to the one in Finneytown. They do it.
Okay.
But, you know, the benefit is on Kroger's here because, you know, I can either go to Meijer and do my grocery shopping or I can pay the $4 and have Kroger do it for me. I'm going to go to Kroger
mm-hmm.
and maybe pay a little more here and there on an item or two, but I don't have to spend 2 hours of my day grocery shopping.
Did you get any produce?
Yeah. I think she... No, she got... she didn't get produce, but she got chicken breasts.
Okay.
And they actually got nicer chicken breasts for us, like really fresh, nice chicken breasts, as opposed to the ones that we had bought before and we paid the same amount that we were going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
All the substitutions are great. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. We're picking out the best fruit.
That was my only concern, yeah.
I would just not get produce.
Just don't have any fruits
just
or vegetables.
Don't do it as this, though. Go pick that yourself.
Yeah.
Do the rest of it this way. Man, it was so convenient. It was so nice.
It was very convenient.
I was like... like singing on the way home and smiling, snapping my fingers about not having a grocery shop.
Yeah.
It was so nice. So if you have a Kroger, if you're listening to this and you have a Kroger around you, check into this because, man, it was awesome. Hmm. It was great. Really really cool thing they're doing.
I've got to do grocery shopping after this.
You should think about it, man.
I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to go to the store and do it.
Ugh. What a waste of time you're going to have.
I mean, I just thought about it just now, but...
Hey, what else are you going to talk about?
Well...
There's a lot of stuff that's happened.
Speaking of fruits, I want to give a plug to the Jazz Apple. It is crunchy. It's crisp.
Give a plug to the apple.
It's got a good flavor. It's not like those old Red Delicious... If anybody's still having a Red Delicious... You're behind the times, man. I mean, I want to tell you, they're not delicious. They're soft and mealy.
Yeah.
Don't have any flavor. Get a Jazz Apple.
I'm going to get a Jazz Apple.
And it's like a half the price of a Honeycrisp apple. I was on to the Honeycrisp.
Yeah.
They're crispy and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe still my favorite, but for the price, half the price? Ha.
Whoa.
Ha. I'm going for the Jazz. So, apples.
All right.
Nature's Fruit Ball. Nature's fruit ball, apple.
Nature's fruit in the skin.
Yep.
That's all it is.
Fruit in the skin.
Fruit in the skin. All right.
Nature's fruit in the skin.
I'm having trouble remembering back to all the things that have happened since we recorded last.
Oh.
I tried to write some things down, but it's possible I'm going to talk about things we already talked about.
I'm
just going to go with it.
I'm just going
to
go.
Ghostbusters came back to theaters. June 8th, 12th, and the 15th. It was only supposed to be the 8th and the 12th, but I think it did well enough that they added the 15th on there, too.
Oh.
It was an awesome time.
Sure.
The boys have both seen it in the theater before. They brought it back for, I think, the 30th anniversary. So this wasn't anything new, but they were still super excited to go see it again. And when we went, they had the real Ghostbusters of Ohio, this kind of cosplay group. They had an Ecto-1 set up outside, and there was guys dressed up as Ghostbusters. It was awesome. There was Ecto Coolers there. Ecto Cooler's back, and I've had Ecto Cooler.
You've been drinking it like crazy.
I haven't been drinking it like crazy, but it is really good. I've been trying to be conservative about the
one I have.
You've
been drinking it through a straw.
I've been drinking it through a straw like it's nothing. Do you want one? I'll bring one in.
No, it's okay.
For you. It's really good, man.
I remember. What was it? Mandarin? It's like Mandarin orange flavor?
It is. It's like the orange lava burst, but with like a little bit of a different flavor added to
Mandarin
it.
Orange is my least favorite of all orange citrus
really?
Fruits. Yeah.
That's odd.
It's true, though.
But you like the Mandarin, like the comic book character, right?
Are
you
a
big, fan of Shiwan Khan?
I love Shiwan Khan.
So, I don't understand why you wouldn't like it. Anyway, so we had Ecto Coolers, my dad came, it was a lot of fun. There was a trivia contest beforehand, and we totally cleaned up at that. We got 5 out of the 7 prizes in our group. So, we're going to talk about Ghostbusters 2016 a little bit during this episode, and it's going to be harsh.
I'm sorry.
So during the movie, they handed out these posters. You know, before the movie started, they handed out these posters, and they handed them to you before they told you, that's for the new movie. And then they, like, walked away real quick. Like, they knew they were trying to sneak something out, you know? And a lot of people were like, and they, like, left them behind the seat, so they gave them back afterwards. But at the beginning of the Ghostbusters 1984 that they were showing, they had a clip from Ivan Reitman, and he was talking about how much he appreciates that people still love Ghostbusters, and... Now, it's kind of great to think of the movie as classic. It was really cool. At the end of the speech, he goes, hey, if you stick around, you get a special sneak preview of the new Ghostbusters film. And I could hear multiple groans in the audience, and I had multiple people say, I'm not going to stick around then. And sure enough, as soon as the credits rolled, the theater emptied out. Like, nobody stuck around to see the clip from the 2016 Ghostbusters. Because they didn't want to taint the night. Why would you even do that? Why would you... put the clip at the end of the movie, because now you've just rewatched 84 Ghostbusters, which is perfect. Why would you then follow that up with a 2016 clip to compare it to?
They've already got their ticket sales, and it's nice that they didn't make you sit through it.
I am glad about that. It is nice that they didn't make me sit through it because I would not have sat through it. I would have maybe gone out and got popcorn and come back in. Now. I think we can honestly say here that we are not against Ghostbusters because it's an all-female cast.
That's been established.
And that has been established multiple times on the show, but that is the sticking point for any article that I read that's defending the movie, is it's just misogynist that don't want to see it. It's just misogyny that it's causing you not to see it. Well, I'm going to go see it just to fight against misogyny. No, if you go buy a ticket to a movie that a lot of these places admit, it doesn't look like the best, it doesn't look that great, it doesn't look very good, I'm still going to buy a ticket just because I hate those guys that are so misogynistic. If you're buying a ticket to fight misogyny, it's not fighting misogyny because that's not the main complaint of the movie. Your ticket sales are just going to go to support bad reboots of classic films. That's it. That's just going to tell Hollywood, hey, this movie made some money. They must like these reboots. Let's make some more of these.
In that statement, it doesn't look good, but I'm going to support it because, whatever the reason, you're admitting that it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
That's everybody else's complaint.
Yeah, that's...
So just join everybody. Stop. You don't have to create these false fights, you know, these false...
Totally.
Yeah, okay. So that's silly.
They had the Fallout Boy theme song.
That was... that's on my list.
That is rough.
It's rough.
It's really hard to listen to it. It's really bad.
I will say that I'm not personally not a fan of Fallout Boy. I also don't hate Fallout Boy. I don't care. They exist. They make some music. Fine. This song is absolute crap. I think probably that Fallout Boy was offered a big fat paycheck. They said, okay, they cashed that check, and, you know, some higher up said, okay, you have to have the words Ghostbusters in there, you have to have the phrase, I ain't afraid of whatever.
It's almost like they just kept repeating the old lines.
Oh, yeah.
Like there was nothing new added in, really.
Yeah. So, they basically, I almost feel that they are probably embarrassed by having made it. I mean, they have to know the movie looks like crap. Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't know that. Maybe they're very, very proud of this song that they made. But I feel like for them, they went and they cashed a big check, is what they did. They went in, they turned out a crappy song, and they cashed a check. I don't know that anybody else doing... what I'm saying is this Fall Out Boy's fault? Or is it really just the higher-ups who have made this train wreck of a film already, which we haven't seen, of course, but... It sounds like, from what it looks like, it just doesn't... I haven't seen anything that looks good.
Exactly. I haven't seen a single thing come out of the movie that looks good.
Right.
Like, trailers are supposed to give you a good taste of a film. It's supposed to give you kind of... Put some of the best stuff in the trailers, entice them, and then they'll be happy with what they get in the movie, because they'll get what they got in the trailer as the high points or whatever. And not a single trailer, I think, has played well. Like, they're all... The jokes fall flat...
It's all played.
The CGI is horrible. Yeah. The jokes are the same jokes we've been telling for the last 20 years. There's nothing new here. Right. There's nothing charismatic about the characters. It doesn't come across as anything I'd ever want to see. Yeah. And I would say that the same thing if it was women or men. If these jokes would be the same, women or men.
This is not original material
it's
here
not.
At all.
Having a crowd surfing scene and a person jump into it and then not be caught... That joke is so stale and old.
Yeah, how many times has that been done?
Doing the Oprah thing when the car shows up and saying, you get a car, and you get a car, and you get a car. Super old now. The exorcism joke. Super old now.
Right.
There's none of those jokes that you've crammed in the trailers are anything new. It's just not funny.
Yeah. So,
a fart joke.
Yeah.
They had another one where it played a thing and it made a fart noise.
Yeah.
Fart noises, really? That's what you've got? That's the best you've got for your trailer?
Shoot the Stay Puffed in the crotch.
Oh, you get it?
Oh, right in the crotch. That's funny.
It's because it's a guy. It's funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
It's just not appealing in the least.
So the song is appropriate in that it is not an appealing song at all.
When Run-DMC, we talked about this a little earlier, when Run-DMC did the Ghostbusters, a redo of the Ghostbusters theme in the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack, they had samples of the original theme that were kind of weaved in throughout. Mm-hmm. But it was all new lyrics, and it was a different take on a Ghostbusters theme.
Right.
It wasn't as good as the first Ghostbusters theme, in my opinion, but at least it was something different. It was something that was their own take on it, and it wasn't a bad song. It had a kind of a hook to it, and it was good. But this one is just kind of just trying to redo the first one in a horrible way.
I don't even know if it's... I was thinking about this earlier. You have... Because I had seen some comments about it. Most of them were negative. Like, almost everybody seemed to hate this. But a couple of people were saying, because the original one was so good, right? Well,
it was.
You could argue about whether it was or not, I didn't experience it when it was happening. We didn't have the internet to gripe about it on. But looking back at it, it's got a hook, and somebody might think that this new song is catchy too, but there's an established lyric for this song and the Bobby Brown song. There's a scenario set up within the song about, you know, things go bump in the night and I'm afraid, and what do you know, all this is building up to say, I ain't afraid of no ghosts, I'm going to call the Ghostbusters, right? And I went back and re-listened to the new song to see if maybe I was wrong. Am I missing some story in there? I don't think there was. I don't even remember anything. It was just
lyrics from the original, right, sampled and thrown in a weird, odd thing. When Ray Parker Jr. wrote the original one, he was like, well, I can't really come up with things that kind of make sense to just kind of rhyme words and talk about this. And then he saw them do the commercial in the movie and said, what if it kind of the hook of the song is it's a commercial, like a jingle for a commercial. And that's great. That's brilliant. That's a very smart. And you could say that, you know, he sampled Huey Lewis.
Oh, yeah, but.
But either way, the lyrics are the lyrics of the song. And the concept of the song really, really worked. And there's a reason why you say, who are you going to call to anybody? And they'll know exactly what it's going to come back
with.
It's from
that song. Right.
That's what came up with who you going to call. Right. And it's just become a thing in our culture. And this song isn't anywhere close to that.
So there's nothing that could be done. They're sort of damned if they do, damned if they don't, which is the whole thing with the movie anyway.
It just
shouldn't have been done. So I'm not like the song fits. It's exactly what this movie seems like, desperate, you know, like trying too hard to win people over to this, trying so desperately hard. The first songs, also the other songs, had they were not taking themselves too seriously. It was light and it was fun. And in this, you know, Fall Out Boy is not a light breezy,
no,
you know, come on
fun,
and have a party song.
Yeah.
They're going to come on and say, I ain't afraid of, you know,
and they're being all
serious about it. Like, you're being too serious about this song. And then to put Missy Elliott on it too, Missy Elliott and Fall Out Boy, why? Because, is it because there's a black woman in the movie? You had to have a black woman rapper on it? I like Missy Elliott. I've listened to more of her than I have Fall Out Boy, but it's almost like this desperate attempt to like they're pandering, you know, like they can't see outside of their own sexism or racism. It's like, well, this is the women are in this movie, so women are our target audience, and we better have a woman on this song too. Like, whoa, wait a second.
It feels like they're truly embracing that as the selling point for the movie. And
that's sad. I mean, that
really
is sad to me.
It should be sold on its own merits and not,
right,
well, come see this if you want to defend yourself against misogyny. It's, you know,
evil men.
Ordinarily, you and I would not harp this much on a movie we haven't seen yet, but I think we're both just kind of fed up of that being the accusation, if you don't like this movie, that you're a male chauvinist and you're a sexist, and that's why you don't like the movie. That's why.
Well,
it has nothing to do with that. It's because everything surrounding this film looks bad.
Right.
And this film was made because Sony wanted a new franchise out of Ghostbusters. Not because we really needed another Ghostbusters, or that the original Ghostbusters had something flawed in it that needed to be fixed in the first place.
Right.
It was that we need a new franchise, we need to get rid of the old guys, we need to get rid of anybody old surrounding the movie, and we want to embrace this new thing and do it as a new thing. And we're bringing this director that does female films, so that's what it's going to be. It's making it to fit his mold. And it was never organic, this movie happening. It was like, oh, what can we do to make some money? What can we do to make some money? Can this make some money? Can we make this into a franchise to make some money?
Exactly.
And that's a shame, because
it is a shame.
There's some people involved in the film that I'm like, oh, I like that person. It's kind of a shame that they're being involved in this thing, and now it's going to kind of come back to get them and go, when this movie is not what everyone is, a failure or something, that I hope that those names aren't kind of tied into it.
Yeah. I'm tired of talking about it myself, but it's really getting pushed. I mean, that's why I feel like that's why this keeps coming up. After the initial release and the backlash, you notice they didn't hear any, there was nothing for like a month or two. It was like everything just disappeared over the weekend. I was happy during that time to just kind of forget about this. And now it seems like they're trying to play, you know, they're trying to cover their tracks, and it's this, desperate is still the best word. It's just stop pushing, stop trying to make everybody like this, okay? Yeah. Nobody likes, that's why when you hear people say, well, nobody, there wasn't this backlash when they did the Total Recall remake, and there wasn't this backlash when they did the Point Break remake. Okay, yeah, you're right. There wasn't this big a backlash, but they didn't push that movie, those movies like
plus,
that either.
I highly doubt that anybody would think that Point Break or Total Recall are as beloved as Ghostbusters.
Well,
that's the real issue here. Is Total Ghostbusters Recall is a beloved franchise. Like, it's from all age groups.
From all age groups. I don't think anybody was happy about Total Recall.
I don't either.
Or
I don't remember anybody
Point
being
Break.
Excited about those reboots.
And those came and went
at all.
Quietly. They came and went quietly. That's why you didn't hear the backlash. But when you're going to send out your cast to take pictures with kids in hospitals who don't know who you are and don't care about who you are, and to try and force everybody to think that you're this, you know, you're doing this great big good thing, and you're, you know, just every angle of it is just really pushing it, and just that's why you have a backlash, is you're pushing so hard.
I kind of don't enjoy the kind of smug rudeness of some of the people involved too, like Paul Feig,
who
came out and said that, I've never met bigger a-holes than the geek culture. You know, like, those are the guys that can go see the movie. You know that, right? Like, maybe you should just say, hey, there are some people that aren't happy about it, but we're just going to try and do the best film we can, and
we're
hopefully people
good
enjoy
film.
It. Same with Melissa McCarthy. She came out and said something to the effect of, these people that are online just, you know, going crazy about the film, I really think they just need to find a friend or something like that.
Oh, yeah, get
like
a friend. Find a friend, yeah.
Or, you know, maybe you could just make a better movie. How about that instead? How about you can be involved in a film that actually has merit and that we were asking for in the first place? My thing about reboots is, man, is that the time where it works is if a film was had a good concept but was flawed for whatever reason in the first place, that it wasn't received well or it wasn't produced well or it had a bad star in it or trouble production or something like that, then a reboot makes sense where it's like, there's something in this film that's good that we can go back and we can go do it again. We both like Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
But I would say that the original Judge Dredd movie is a failure as a Judge Dredd movie.
Yeah.
It's a fine Stallone movie,
but
it's a failure as a Judge Dredd movie. So when Dredd came out again, I was for that because I wanted a Dredd movie that was true to Dredd.
You know, those you can have both of those movies, and the new Dredd wasn't trying to remake the other Dredd.
It's a bad example of what I'm, but I'm trying to. My point is that in those cases where the original version of something has something in it that I wanted, but everybody regards the movie as kind of this was a failure in what it needed to do, to then go back and say, well, we're going to try that again, and we're going to do it this way this time. We're going to change up this. We're going to try and do it again and see how it goes. I support those kind of reboots.
Sure.
If you got it right the first time, why do it again?
If you could bring something actually new to the table, besides just changing the sex of the character. I mean, that is the exact definition of what I hear some people are supposed to be against. Like, you're diminishing the differences here by just saying, oh, well, we did this. But I was talking to somebody else about this. There's something different, too. The original Ben-Hur movie came out in the 30s, and it was a silent black-and-white film. So in the 1950s, that's just 20 years. I mean, the same time span.
Yeah.
They remake Ben-Hur. Well, they had Technicolor by that time, and the budget was bigger, and the scene sets were bigger and everything, and it was a very different movie. It was retelling the same story. The other thing is, you didn't have video that you could take home and watch it. Ben-Hur in the 1930s came out. It played at the theaters for however long it came out.
Yeah.
Then it was gone. You just remembered, oh, I saw Ben-Hur. I was thrilled by that film. Maybe once in a while they would bring a film back and play it at the theater. But by the time the remake comes out, they're retelling a story because it needed to be retold. And we're in a time period. We're in a very odd time now where nobody's mad about the Ben-Hur remake, I'm sure, when it happened. But now, Ghostbusters doesn't seem old to me because I've had it on VHS tape and DVD for the last 30 years. And you can watch it whenever you want, and it's still fresh. It's still new. And so when they come out and make a remake, it's like you're kind of just slapping them in the face. You're not offering anything, really.
Yeah.
that I wasn't getting already. You're just, you know, and they just played the original Ghostbusters back in the theater. Just put that back in the theater, and then you can say Ghostbusters on the big screen.
If you want to see Ghostbusters again, here it is. Plus, the thing, too, is that...
So we have a...
You know, if... I've made the Turtles comparison before. I don't want to see a Turtles movie that doesn't have Raphael, Michelangelo, Leonardo, and Donatello. Those are the Turtles. Just like the Ghostbusters are those four guys... Egon Ray, Peter Winston. It's those guys.
Right.
Had it been girls originally, it would still be those girls. I wouldn't want them to change it into guys.
Right.
It's, but, and to then, to also make it a reboot, if this is, I would even be more accepting if it was an actual sequel. And here's a new team.
Right.
Here's, the, you know, take whatever guys you still have left. You know, Harold's dead. But, you know, have just Ray and Winston, if you had to, training these new guys. I'd be more accepting of that. That'd be more organic to me than to say the original never happened. Here's something else.
Could be doing something new, at least, or at least building upon something instead of everything I've seen from the trailer. This looks like the exact same story, and they're just rehashing it. It's like The Getaway. If you ever, maybe I brought this up before. You watch The Getaway with Steve McQueen, Sam Peckinpah movie. Fantastic film.
And then you watch
fantastically directed.
Attic Baldwin.
And then Attic Baldwin comes out in the 90s, and they do it. And, and when you watch it, beat for beat, it's like the same, except they didn't hit all the right beats. Like,
I still like the Attic Baldwin Getaway. I still like it.
You, but I did not like it. Because,
I still like it as an Attic Baldwin.
Because it's Attic Baldwin. Because
it's Attic Baldwin.
And you know
and
what?
He's always the shadow to me.
I like a Kim Basinger.
I just keep thinking he's shadow.
I like
everything.
A Kim Basinger.
I like her too. She's in Batman.
She's in Batman.
It's the shadow and Vicky Vale together in a movie.
That's fine. But that movie is crap when you compare
to the original, yes.
Watch it after the other.
Yes.
It's like, what was really the point of this except... You just had some new stars, and you want to throw them into a movie. And if we had this show back when that came out, I would have been mad about that, too. But anyway, that's... Okay, so that's Ghostbusters. We're still not happy about it, not happy about the song.
I will say, if you want to see the movie, if you find things that are appealing in the trailers, and you want to see the movie based on that, like you think it's funny and you think it's cool, more power to you. Do not go see the movie, though, just to teach somebody else a lesson. To say, I'm going to go see it because I'm against the guys that don't want to see it. And that'll teach them. If you really, truly look at the film and say, okay, these trailers aren't appealing to me. I really don't support this idea. Or anything. Don't do that. Don't support. Give money to something. Because your cause that you're going to see it for isn't what's going to be benefited by that ticket.
They're
going to
do it.
It's not.
They're going to do it.
They're going to do it anyway.
They're going to do it.
So we would not, again, we would not rail on this so much if the other side of the fence wasn't so accusatory as to why people like us don't like the film.
Yeah.
We would just let it be.
I've seen so many...
It's every article is something like that. Like I told you, there was an IO9 article about this song, and it wasn't even talking about the song. It went right into, basically, I'm supporting this song because I'm against the misogynists that don't want to see the movie. What's that got to do with the song?
Right, do you like the song?
Do you like the song or not? Because you just said the song was no good,
right.
But now you're saying you're defending the song... Because it's something that you think that maybe this mystical giant group of misogynists that aren't out there are somehow going to use it to make them so they don't like the movie even more? That's the most ridiculous comment I've ever read.
It's crazy times.
I will say this, that as much as we're kind of railing on about the movie, I will give it credit in that it's getting me some cool Ghostbusters stuff, at least. It got Ecto-Cooler back. It got the movies back in theaters. There's a ton of classic Ghostbusters merchandise coming out. Mezco just announced they're doing 1/12 collective figures. Blitzway announced they're doing 1/6 scale and 1/12 collective figures. Soldier Story is doing 1/6 scale figures. Diamond Select has got the classic Ghostbusters line. It's like a ton of Ghostbusters stuff coming. Whereas we went 25 years or something before that Mattel line even started, before we even had Ghostbuster figures from the movie that were not just the ghosts.
Right.
That, to me, is pretty incredible, to actually have a bunch of Ghostbuster stuff. So I will give the movie credit for that.
If the movie wasn't
happening, that stuff wouldn't be happening. So I'm thankful for the movie in that regard.
There's your silver lining.
I gotta have a silver lining.
You gotta have one.
So, okay.
You gotta have one.
Enough about that. Here's something else we can get irate about, unless you want to...
Well, I don't know. Well, hold on. Speaking of remakes, they're doing a Mechanic sequel with Jason Statham.
Oh, really?
It looks okay. I didn't care for the remake myself because I really liked the Charles Bronson one. It had a lot of subtleties that the new movie lacked. But they're doing a sequel, so okay, so that's happening. You want the fortune cookie?
Sure, man. I love fortune
cookies. I brought in fortune. I have. I get fortune cookies all the time if I go to P.F. Chang's. I don't know if you guys have a P.F. Chang's. I know you do, James, but...
Man, I went there... The last time I went there, it was no good.
You know what? I've noticed their sauce has been real thin and, like, watery.
It was no good, dude.
Really?
We had, the lettuce wraps, the Mongolian beef, and something else. I can't remember what it's called. And it was no good, man. Yeah. And it was expensive.
What was the problem that you noticed with it?
It was, like, dry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, chewy.
Mm-hmm.
And the portions weren't that good. Like, they brought out the lettuce wraps, and it was not as much as they usually brought out.
Yeah.
It was just not very good. And it was, like, for the two of us, it was still, like, 60 or 70 bucks or something.
That's crazy.
It was insane, man. Here, your present question marks are going to succeed.
What?
That's not a fortune.
Present question marks?
Your present question marks are going to succeed. I guess things I'm questioning are going to be success. Things I'm going, maybe I should do this. Oh, it's a success.
Okay.
I don't know. That's okay. A terrible fortune.
At least it's actually a fortune.
Yeah.
Unlike mine. A smile is a curve that can get a lot of things straight.
That's stupid.
It's a proverb. It's a piece of wisdom, but I didn't get anything about my future in there.
Yeah, it's not very good.
Yeah. Yeah. My lucky numbers are 14, 1, 55, 19, 32, and 45. So,
hey, somebody may play those as a lotto, man. Yeah. You may have just given away your lucky numbers.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, good luck to you.
If you do play those numbers out there and you win,
I expect a percentage.
You got to give us something.
All right.
All right. I saw Turtles 2.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I took Keaton to see Turtles 2.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's the same kind of deal as Turtles 1.
It's the same.
Where it was a fun kids movie. You know, like he really enjoyed it. There was nothing in there that I was offended by as a Turtles fan. The designs are, again, not something I'm a fan of the Turtles-wise. Bebop and Rocksteady were exactly what they should be.
Yeah.
Krang was very much like Krang.
Krang.
The movie did not do well, and a lot of people have blasted it, and I'm like, there's been so many incarnations of Turtles. If you're a fan of the original Turtles comics, if you want more of an adult Turtles, you've got the 1990 movie. That's as good as you're going to get ever for an original Turtles comic film. It's pretty much... exactly, the original Turtles comics. This movie, if you like the old 80s cartoons, this is for you. Because it's very much like those old 80s cartoons, where it's kind of a crazy plot, and it's very cartoony with the actions and the jokes and the way the Turtles interact.
And a Krang brain.
And Krang is there, he interacts with Shredder like he does on the show. It's basically the old Turtles cartoon. It felt very much like the producers went out of their way to go, let's make something that's like the old Turtles cartoons. And in that regard, it succeeded for me, man. I'm like, okay, this is not what I would choose for myself as a Turtles movie, but I could totally see if you wanted a Turtles movie based on that you would be happy with this film. And Keaton loved it. Like, he was like, this is great. This is another Turtles movie. He loved Bebop and Rocksteady. So, if you like those old Turtles cartoons, go check it out. It was worth seeing. The trailers, though, that we got in front of this movie... What is happening with movies, man?
Pretty bad, huh?
They were terrible.
Oh, we should have done the thing. I forgot about that.
Oh, I forgot about that too. Thing. So we're going to have to do that next time. I need to talk about these trailers, though.
Ah, man. Okay.
I won't talk about the trailers.
You do it. Just go ahead and do it. You know we're not going to come up with a bunch of scenarios.
We're not going to.
We're not going to do it.
Probably won't do it.
Go ahead and break.
I'm going to say it. All right, so two trailers that I can remember off the top of my head. There's, like, this alien that comes to Earth, right?
Yeah.
And he gets inside this guy's old, like, pickup truck. And he likes being in there. And I guess the pickup truck doesn't have an engine. So the monster makes the truck go. And he knows it's in there, and he becomes his friend. And now these government guys kind of try and show up to steal the monster from him.
Naturally.
And as we're watching it, Nick, who went and saw, he brought his son over, he turns to me, he's like, oh, man, they're kind of like monster trucks, get it?
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to bet you that that's the name of the movie. And so then they're going on through it, and then another monster gets inside of another truck, and they're doing crazy, weird things. And the movie is indeed called Monster Trucks.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't turn the ringer off on this.
You're going to have to find a lot of trucks without
monster
engines.
Monster Trucks.
Yeah.
So that means in a boardroom they were going, what kind of movies can we make? Like, what do kids like? Do they like monster trucks? What if they took monsters and actually put them inside trucks?
Right.
Monster trucks. That's not what they like. Monster trucks are big, giant trucks that crush other cars. They don't actually have monsters inside them. And no kid actually believes, when they go and watch monster trucks, that there's monsters inside the trucks. You've come up with a stupid, dumb idea, and somebody has funded it and turned it into a real movie.
It sounds to me like an idea for an 80s toy line, or an 80s, which is fine. Doesn't sound like it would translate very well to a live-action film.
You know what else doesn't translate well to a live-action film?
Yes, I do know.
Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacely.
He's a real businessman, and he's lost touch with his family. His little daughter's growing up without him. He's just too busy doing business
things. Oh, man.
Right?
Very busy.
So what's he going to do on her birthday? He's got to get something. So he's like, I'll get her a cat. That'll make up for the fact that I'm a horrible father and a businessman. So he goes to a weird pet shop, right? And at first you think, is this Gremlins?
Yeah.
Because he's like going to this weird, crazy pet shop, and he's going to get a weird, crazy pet. But he gets a cat, and Christopher Walken is the pet shop owner. And so he's selling Kevin Spacey the cat. And all of a sudden he shuts down the shop. Like he turns the lights, and he's like, tells everybody to stop him or something. Then weird lights happen, and he turns Kevin Spacey into the cat. And then tells him, you have 5 days to reconnect with your family, or you stay as a cat. And so that's the premise of the movie, is Kevin Spacey is stuck inside of a cat and has to somehow reconnect with his family as a cat.
Right.
He can think, you can hear his thoughts, he can't talk, but he's a man brain inside of a cat body.
Right.
And so he's doing crazy things and doing weird things around. He's peeing and peeing in this girl lady's purse, and she gets mad. And he, at the end of the trailer, he's doing this pull-up thing, like he's got his cat paw hand thing.
He's doing pull-ups
on a bar, and he does a pull-up, and it does this weird wind it back effect that looks terrible. And he says something like, "I gotta get in shape" or something, and it's so dumb, like it's so unbelievably dumb.
That sounds good.
Mr. Fancy Pants, that's what it's called.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
Mr. Fancy Pants.
That sounds really good.
If you want to really just waste your time, go look out the Mr. Fancy Pants trailer.
Yeah.
It astounds me that both Christopher Walken and Kevin Spacey agreed to do this movie.
They both did it.
They got the script and they both went, let's go for it.
Whatever.
Let's do Mr. Fancy Pants.
Yeah. That's rough.
It was rough, man.
You know, Kevin,
it was rough.
Kevin Spacely is going to have that 5 days as a cat in the family... is going to connect with him because he's a cat.
And then they're
going
to miss the cat.
And they're also going to wonder, well, I wonder where Dad went.
Where's he been the last for these 5 days? Well, he's a businessman, so he's...
He's probably traveling. He's probably gone a businessman.
He's a businessman.
And then, when he turns back into a human, they're still going to be mad at him for never being around.
Yeah.
Probably, and I don't know how being a cat is going to help you. Like,
how does that help you connect?
You're doing pull-ups as a cat. You have 5 days.
Yeah, don't waste time doing pull-ups and peeing in ladies' purse.
You're wasting a whole lot of time.
How about you just go to, like, Nick brought up, you know, if they have those letter magnets on the fridge, spell out, I'm Dad.
I'm your dad.
I'm your dad.
I'm trapped in a cat's body.
You got the cat box, maybe scratching in the litter. It's Dad.
Use the letters.
I'm your dad.
It's me.
You can have her play, you can play charades, let her know that you're Dad somehow. So you can reconnect.
That would not be a bad 5 days.
It wouldn't be a bad 5 days. Just chill out as a cat.
You don't have to do anything.
Cat is the laziest creature around.
Does
man.
Christopher Walken know that the family's going to financially be ruined because, what's his face? He missed work.
He missed all that work.
He missed all that work. He's not able to, he's not getting the paycheck.
He didn't think it through. He just turns fired. People into cats, I guess.
He got fired.
What is this shop that he just has like a mystical shop for bad dads to turn them into cats?
He's been waiting for somebody to come in.
He loves when businessmen come in, so he can turn them into cats to reconnect with their family. Mr. Fancy Pants. Check it out, guys.
Man.
Or don't.
Man. I think they're not... They won't.
I hope they don't.
Much like everybody else.
I hope nobody checks it out.
This is coming straight to Walmart. This is going to be one of those pulled after 2 weeks in the theater.
Mr. Fancy Pants. We're 40 minutes in, man. I got tons of stuff still.
I can't get over it.
Hey, man. What about that new Mask comic?
Oh, boy. Yeah,
I'm not excited about it at all now.
No.
Not excited about it at all.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was hoping wouldn't happen with this comic is happening with this comic.
Right.
There was a Forbes article today, and you might have seen the comment I made on it.
I did.
The Forbes article said something like, the new mass comic brings it back to and stays true to its Japanese origins. First of all, it doesn't have Japanese origins.
Right.
It was a toy line created at Kenner, which is in Cincinnati, Ohio. They created the characters, they created the concept, they created the idea of the masks and the world, the team around the world. They created all the vehicles and the look of them. Everything about Mask was created right here in Cincinnati. The only thing that was made in Japan was the production of the cartoon.
Right.
That's it. But this article, between the guy at Forbes and the writer of the new comic, at no point ever even says the word Kenner. It never even addresses the fact that Kenner created this.
Right.
It just goes on and on about this Japanese studio that actually produced the actual animation, which it was made by Deke, which is a French company.
Right. Canadian, right.
French-Canadian, and the only thing that Japan did was actually do the animation. Right. Everything else.
They were hired, like for many other animations at
but
the time.
This dude never, ever steps up and says, no, this is actually Kenner that does this. So first of all, you have no respect for the people that actually created Mask. But we can already tell that by the fact of what you're doing with Mask. When you tell everybody that, oh, T-Bob's a silly character, he won't show up in this. Yeah. Well, that's like saying Orko's never going to show up in He-Man. You don't get the fact that people like what they had before. Changing the race of a main character just to change the race of the main character,
just to
put
it.
Your spin on it, all the changes of the looks of the characters to make them more edgy and cool, you just don't get it. And he has the audacity to have a quote in that article that says, well, if you get too far away from the concept, it's no longer Mask. You mean exactly what you're doing?
Yeah.
Getting so far away from the concept that it's no longer Mask? I'm sorry, but T-Bob is part of Mask.
Yeah.
That's part of it.
Max.
Matt Tracker, as he was, as the main character of Mask, and it's not just the race, he's changing everything about him. He's going, oh, we're going to get into all his motivations and his backstory and all. There already is a backstory! It already exists!
He was a troubled youth on the streets, but an ace mechanic.
So it's exactly what you're saying you don't want to do, is you're getting so far away from it, it's not Mask. So please, if you like the original Mask, avoid this comic at all costs. I'm not picking it up. I'm going anywhere near it. And if anybody asks me what I think about it, or if I should recommend it, without even looking at it, I'm going to tell you flat out, don't buy it.
Tell them. Listen to episode 99 of the podcast.
Just listen to it, because I'm not down with that. If you're going to completely change something to put your own spin on it, then don't call it what it is. Don't call it Mask, because it's no longer Mask. The only thing you've done is say it's masks on guys and they have cars that transform. Right. You know, you've taken the bare minimum of it because you don't know how to make the other stuff work. You're that untalented that you don't know how to make T-Bob work or how to make the previous relationships and storyline and all those things work. You just don't know how to make it work and make it work for today's audiences.
Or at least
so
say,
you're just going to make a new spin on it.
Or at least say, you know what, we're taking this in a different direction.
Yeah, just say you're not making it. Mask. You know that you are. Making a new take on Mask, don't call it Mask. Don't call it Mask.
Yep.
You want to do something else that's Fast and the Furious with masks on? Do Fast and Furious with masks on. Call it something else.
Fast Mask.
Because you're not doing Mask now. You've gotten far enough away from the concept that you're no longer doing Mask.
Fast Mask.
I don't get why they go after these properties that people have clamored to continue.
Right.
And then do something completely distanced from what people know. Mask has only had that original incarnation in the 80s. That's it.
Right.
So when people want it back, they want that incarnation from the 80s. This isn't like Transformers, where it's gone through different versions since Transformers was created. There's never really been a break that much of Transformers. It just kept on changing and evolving.
Right.
Mask has only been Mask. And when people want Mask, they want that original Mask. That's what they want. And the feedback online, it seems to agree with what we're saying here, in that... No, we don't want your take on it. We don't want your version of it and what you want to revise and change and what you think is a better story and a better interaction. We want what we had. That's what we want. So thankfully, in this case, most of the people online actually agree with us for once.
Yeah. I'm just... Terrible. I'm done. I'm just kind of done. All over the place. I'm done. New trailer for the Jack Reacher sequel.
That came out of nowhere, man. I was happy to see you send that to me today. I'd heard that they were doing the sequel, but I didn't know it was actually moving on.
They didn't really like show anything, and now all of a sudden a trailer, and it looks really good.
It does.
And Tom Cruise is beating up a lot of people in it. So that's going to get me to go to the theater. I'm going to go to the theater to see Jack Reacher 2.
You let me borrow the DVD for that first one.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
It was a great movie.
And now watching the trailer, I want to go back and rewatch it again.
Right.
Because it really was great.
A lot of fun.
Hey, maybe you can make a custom figure of Jack Reacher.
Maybe I could.
The producers or the people behind the film can say that's really cool, and they want to share a picture of it.
Yes.
And then never do that.
That was a good. That's good.
You know?
People from it was from Tom Cruise's website.
Mm, that's what it was.
Contacted us and asked if we if
Welcome
they could
to my official website
if they could share it or whatever. Yes, absolutely. Please do. That was it.
That was
it. I never heard anything.
They wanted us to play hard to get.
Right.
Like, oh, those guys are way too easy, way too approachable.
That was too easy. I'm not interested.
I was really hoping they would ask us for some money.
Yo, Tom has said he doesn't. He never approves his likeness on any figures or anything. So I wonder if.
But it's just a custom.
I know, but it looked a lot like him. I wonder if he, for some reason, said no. Don't do that. I don't know.
I think there's a Mission Impossible figure coming out of his, or some other figure. I know there's some 1/6 scale figure coming out of his likeness.
I saw a 1/6.
I don't remember what film was from though.
I think somebody was doing a Mission Impossible or something.
Maybe.
Or somebody did a custom or something.
Yeah.
Huh. Anyway.
Well, that's I wrote that down, too.
Okay.
A lot of film anniversaries this week. Today is the anniversary, yes. When we're recording this on June 23rd, is the anniversary of my favorite film of all time, The Batman 89. I watched it again today, and...
Still fun?
It's still great.
Sure it is.
I still get chills during multiple scenes. It's just... Such a really, really solid Batman.
It's your
movie.
Favorite movie of all time.
Favorite movie of all time.
What else?
June 21st was the anniversary of Rocketeer.
Rocketeer.
That's also Gracie's birthday. So happy birthday, Gracie. June 20th was Jaws. June 19th was Batman Returns.
Wow.
Yeah, just a lot of... I mean, obviously June's a big month for movies.
Sure.
It's just kind of cool when you have like Facebook or something, you see
it was
on your feed.
25 years for Rocketeer.
Is that right?
Yeah, it was 91.
Yeah.
And
27 for Batman. And 24 for Batman Returns. I can't remember what year Jaws came out. Was that 72? 75?
75? I want to say 75.
Maybe 75. Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is 75. But I always like to see it pop up on my feed when there's an anniversary coming up.
Yeah.
Some cool movies are coming back to theaters. Next month, Planet of the Apes comes back to theaters.
Oh, cool.
And in August, Batman comes back to theaters again.
Okay.
So I'll be seeing both of those again.
I'd like to see Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it's July 24th, I think it is.
The Charlton Heston Planet of the
Apes? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
July 24th, I think, is when they bring it back.
Okay, that's cool.
A G.I. Joe Con happened while we were away.
Oh, okay.
Unless you want to chime in with something? Because this is one of the last things
I it's okay. Go. Go for it.
Joe Con happened. The best things to be shown at JoeCon had nothing to do with Hasbro.
Yeah.
The Eagle Force line is looking really cool. That Legends of the West Kickstarter, you and I are both like, that's about time.
Yeah.
It's about time we got like Western action figures. I'm really excited about those.
It's cool.
Reminds me of that Badlands figure line that Resaurus was going to do.
Yeah.
And it just didn't happen because Resaurus went under. But as far as Hasbro showing stuff, I can't even tell what's new and what's old anymore.
Yeah.
It's just been the same stuff.
Yeah, I saw
for years now.
They announced, I mean, I was kind of glad to see that they're still making figures, but they showed two packs, and they're all just, the first one was Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, and that same...
Here's like, the same Iron Grenadier and the same Viper again.
Same stuff, over and
Here's
over again.
Here's the same Toxo Zombie or whatever again. I can't even tell you for sure that those look any different at all from their original releases at this point. Just because they've driven those molds into the ground.
Yeah.
Like, it's... So old now.
Yeah.
Like, Matt was excited because he's still buying the Joes, and he showed me the Outback, and he's like, oh, it looks a lot like Chuck Norris. And I'm like, yeah, it does, but so did the Outback where he came out the last time he looked like it, and the time before that he looked like it.
I bought one of those figures, like...
It's just different paint on it.
Like 6 years ago or something to get that head. They need to breathe some new life into that, and I don't...
Or let it go away. Like one of the two.
Yeah, they need to do one or the other. Give it a break or something, but... It's Hasbro, man.
They're just not going to.
They're
just
going
to keep doing the same stuff with the same molds, man. Like, it's so old now. I'm so tired of those 2007, whatever it was, 25th anniversary style figures at this point. I'm not saying the line was bad. The line was awesome. They did some great things with it, but yeah. I'm tired of it now.
Yeah.
Because they're not putting really any effort into it or any money into it. They're just going, what molds do we have that we can put out again and again and right. again? G.I. Joe deserves better than that. Like, pull back and go, okay, we've done everything we can with this line. Either let it go away for a while if you want to keep doing that style of figures, or change it to six scale. Well, I mean, the 6-inch scale. Or do like He-Man's doing and do like a line that's based straight out of the cartoon. Like do cartoon-style figures from those old cartoons. People would love that.
Sure.
Include DVDs with them and get kids excited about that old cartoon.
Make
you know,
it,
do
yeah,
something.
Make it special instead of just, you know.
It's not special at all.
Instead of
anymore.
Just having a couple of 2-packs of figures that have been out shoved into a hole on a shelf at Toys R Us. I mean.
That then go on clearance. That they're just rotting at clearance
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
It's. Really sad. Really sad to see what's happened to that line.
Okay. Danny McBride. There's a picture of Danny McBride from the Alien.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's Prometheus. The Prometheus sequel, which they're calling Alien Covenant, which is a little bit confusing. Looks exactly like what you'd think. It's Danny McBride. He's standing on a spaceship.
He's even got the goatee still, doesn't he?
Yeah, he looks exactly the same. He's just
Danny McBride.
I'm pretty sure that Ridley Scott just wanted like a character like him to be on the ship. You know, on the last Prometheus, he kind of had those two comic relief guys. So,
I think he just got Eastbound and Down on DVD,
and he just said, "This is hilarious. I'd love to work with this guy.
I gotta meet this guy. I just gotta meet him.
Right.
What if I put him in the movie,
right?"
And he just keeps having him say Eastbound and Down lines like on the set. Like, just say this line from the show. Just say it. Oh, that's great, Danny. That's great. I really like it.
That's it.
Like, the girl's coming back.
Naomi Rapace, is coming back. I was disappointed when they said she wasn't coming back. So they said she wasn't. So now she's coming back again. I'm a little bit concerned about this film because it seems to be
herky jerky.
A little bit all over the place. I mean, of course. It's Ridley Scott, but I don't know if anybody saw Exodus, but it was crap.
I don't know if anybody saw Prometheus, but it wasn't that great either.
Prometheus was losing it too. Although I enjoyed it for the atmosphere. You know, it had some of the like
it
same.
Get close to Alien though, man.
No,
it didn't need to exist. It's one of those things where it's like, if you can't make the mystery of Alien better than what's in my head, or better the idea that it's just a mystery where everything came from, then don't do it.
Well, when you get into trying to explain everything, it really takes away from it. And at the beginning of
the prequels.
Right. Exactly. And at the beginning of Prometheus, they show the humanoid form on Earth.
Yeah.
What you presume is Earth. He spills him. He goes into the water or cuts himself or whatever he does. And, you know, spilled his blood. And that's the origins of life here on this planet. That's the whole thing. You gave it away at the beginning. I wasn't wondering through the whole film, like, oh, I wonder what that was all about.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say, well, when are they going to solve that mystery? What's that leading to? I knew exactly what it was at the beginning because, you know, these are like theories that have been floating around anyway.
You showed it.
Yeah, you showed it. I mean, this is like known in the scientific community. Like, people hypothesize that aliens came down here and seeded life. So that's what you showed. But anyway, unfairly... I realize I'm being silly about this, but unfairly, I'm starting to rally against. I'm not rallying against the film, but I'm just kind of like, why don't you shut up? Because I want the Blonde Camp. I want the other Alien movie.
I do too.
Which got pushed back because of this stupid sequel. Nobody.
That's the problem.
I was okay with Prometheus, but it didn't seem like anybody really liked it that much.
Yeah.
You know, and give us the other thing.
And then go back and give us that thing.
And then go back and do that if you want to.
It really, you know, when
or do both. Let them both.
Let them both exist at once.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Get made and they can come out whenever they come out.
But yeah, you're kind of causing yourself your own problem here by going, well, we know you all want that, but I really want to do mine first.
Right.
I want mine to come first.
Right.
Okay, well, now you're going to make people not only that weren't interested in your film, but now actually resent your film because it's costing us. Because Sigourney Weaver's not getting any younger.
Right.
So let's do that one first, because the people you have in Alien Covenant, pretty sure they're going to be just the same in like 5 years.
Right.
None of those people are going to be all that different in 5 years.
Right. Danny McBride's still going to be around. He'll be fine.
Speaking of, man, that Anton Yelchin passing away.
Who's
Chekhov
that? Oh, yeah.
Really a bummer, man. That's really sad.
That's
really, I mean, I thought he was one of the things that stood out for me in the first Star Trek.
Nuclear whistles.
That he seemed like he was really into it. Like, yeah, he really was doing his best to be like the old Chekhov, you know, like to convey that kind of youthful exuberance that the Chekhov character should have.
Yeah.
And all the stuff I read from him and saw from him about how excited he was about it. It was just, you know, and not only that, but his other films too. I don't mind Terminator Salvation that much. It's not a great Terminator movie.
Yeah.
But it's an okay kind of like post-apocalyptic movie. And he is by far the least objectionable thing in it.
Yeah.
Him as Kyle Reese isn't that bad. Like, it's, you can tell again that he's trying to kind of weave in little things of the previous Kyle Reese. So yeah, to hear him have passed away in such an avoidable manner is kind of really, yeah, really sad. And I mean, it's commendable when these younger actors don't die from something drug related, you know?
Right, right.
It's, yeah, but it's a true bummer.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, really sad. There's something else I was going to mention when we were talking about. There's a bunch of stuff coming out about Justice League now. Have you heard about this stuff?
No, I have not.
I
like the logo. I saw the logo, and I like the logo.
So there's big changes on the tone of the film.
Yeah.
They had some guy visit the set that was was against Batman versus Superman, and he was against, you know, Superman Man of Steel. He wasn't happy with either one of them.
Is this a studio executive or something?
No,
or?
like just a guy on like one of these online writers or something like that. I don't know the exact gist of it. I just caught it in glancing because I don't care that much.
Yeah.
But he was saying things like it's a lot different. You can tell the tone is different. The suits look great. They have a much more Alex Rossi type influence to them, it seems. And there's actual jokes happening and sort of a more, you know, upbeat and optimistic take to the film, it seems like. And it's, you know, they broke down a scene and there was kind of a little bit of a jokiness between Bruce Wayne and Flash. And there was even some comments from Zack Snyder where he said, oh yeah, you know, I saw the reaction for the film. I was like, oh boy, whoa, okay. All right, well, we'll change things up. You know, we had to, you know, you got to think for Batman versus Superman, we had to make it a motivation for these two characters to fight, so it had to be dark. But now we're showing all the characters together, and it will be more upbeat. Which comes across a lot as, I want to keep my job,
right,
and so now I'm going to do this because yeah, they told me to do this.
Right.
You wanted to do Batman versus Superman, if I'm not mistaken. You wanted it to be those two characters fighting. It's not like somebody, all the fans were like, can you please do Batman fighting Superman as the movie? No. They would have much rather just had Justice League as a movie, as opposed to Batman fighting Superman as a movie. But anyway, so it seems like they're changing the tone, and some people that are supporting the DC films as they were are kind of against that. They're like, oh, we don't want Marvel films out of this. And I personally, and that's fine, if that's the kind of movies you want, that's fine. If you'd rather have them be like Batman vs. Superman and Man of Steel, and you want that kind of film, that's fine. I personally would love it if they were more like the Marvel films. And I think that it would be embraced by a lot more people, and we'd get a lot more movies out of it if it was more like the Marvel films, and if they did take it. Because I don't think there's anything wrong with most of the Marvel films and the way they proceed with the Marvel films or how they treat the Marvel characters. I've never watched one of the Marvel Studios films and felt, that was really dumbed down. That was really played to the lowest common denominator. I've never felt that.
That's the interesting thing that I hear is that like those movies are dumb because they're not dark and moody mostly, and there's been plenty of darkness and plenty of mood.
Yeah, look at Civil War
in those movies, but
look at Winter Soldier.
But they're not dumbed down.
They're not.
I think Batman vs Superman was actually a dumb movie. I think it was really not.
I think
not
the plot was really,
well,
really poor.
But I don't know why it has to be either or. Like I don't understand this Marvel versus DC thing that's come up now. Like,
yeah, I don't get it, like, either. I just want good comic movies across the board.
Yeah, you mean to tell me you like Wolverine, but you don't like Batman?
Yeah.
What? No, that's not
true.
You
like them both.
That's not true. You
it's
like
okay.
both of them. That's okay.
You don't have to dog the other camp,
right,
just to make your camp better. And that's not what I feel we've done with Batman versus Superman and Man of Steel. It's that we really think that they're not very good movies.
That's all. Just take the movie as it is. I mean,
I've loved the DC characters more than the Marvel characters since I was little.
Right.
And I think that Superman, the original, and Batman, the 89, are the best comic films made.
Yeah.
And those are DC characters. So it's not a bias for me to say the Marvel characters and Marvel movies are better because my favorite characters come out of DC and my favorite movies come out of DC.
Right.
It's just that I think that now Marvel does a better job with their movies. And that's not saying that they're flawless either. There's been a ton of missteps in the Marvel Universe. But I think overall, the way they treat their films as playing to all audiences, more than just saying, we want to go after the adult male comic fan that only wants the comics made for him now and doesn't really want the comics embraced by the younger audiences. That seems like what they're shooting for. And I hate that type of comic
Well,
fan.
There's a lot of... seems to be some... you have, like... relying on the audience to have read, like, you know, every issue to explain certain things. And I'm not... Maybe that's what they mean by dumbing it down, but I don't think it's dumbing it down to tell a good story. You know, it, you're watching the movie to watch the movie, to me at least. And that's why, like with Rocketeer, they got everything from the whole run of comics into that movie in a cohesive way. They didn't just... They didn't tell the story of the comic, but... in a very cohesive way, they got everything in there they needed. It's self-contained. You can watch it without having ever read a comic, and you're fine. I don't know where I was going with this, but just, you know, we're all kind of nerds and geeks. I mean, we're all have been on the outs for so long, you know, of like what was considered normal society. You know, we're like kids at heart, basically, and we're not, you know, we're a different breed, and now. We're all fighting amongst each other. Like, we're getting more comic book... We've been, you know, dying for comic movies. We're all fighting each other on... I'm not talking about, like... You have an opinion on a movie itself based on the merits of the film. That's different, but the like, this Marvel versus DC thing, I don't get the... Like, there's two camps. Either, like, it's like East Coast versus West Coast. Hey, we're all rappers.
Yeah,
we're all making rap music for the world. Why
I just
we
want
just
all
get...
comic book films to be good. When I read Dumbing Down from that group, I read it as that kids are able to watch it too. They don't like that.
Yeah.
They want it only so these 35 plus year old males that want it to be the darkest take on the character possible because they think that somehow these characters should have grown up with them all along, and so that. They now own them. I'm 35 years old, and Batman should be written towards me and me alone. I'm 35 years old, and Superman should be written towards me and me alone. They need to make him more of an adult character because I'm an adult now, and I read him as a kid, but I'm an adult now. So he should be in these adult situations, and he should be dark, and he should do this, and he should do that. Whereas, had it been written that way when you were a kid, you would have never gotten into it. You would have never liked it.
Right.
If it's not more accessible to all these audiences, you would have never gotten into it as a kid, and you wouldn't have it as an adult.
Right.
And whereas the Marvel films, I think, do a good job of making it so there's stuff there for the adult fans to appreciate, the teenage fans to appreciate, and even the preteens to appreciate. There's something there for all of them. And when I read them, say, Dumbing Down... I think what they want them to do is to eliminate the teen and eliminate the preteen.
Right.
They want them out of the picture. They want them made as if they are made what I, as an adult male comic fan, want to see.
I think largely we've all become more cynical, and I don't think that should be embraced or encouraged. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think that's what those things were combating before. I think all these heroes. We've talked about this before on here. It's just. Okay, you're cynical. You've grown up. You figure out the world isn't all, you know, fairy tales all the time. But, well, actually, fairy tales are pretty dark. But you figured out that everything isn't all sunshine and rainbows. And so you want everything to be like that. Like, that's a form of narcissism in a way.
I don't want to look at the world that way. I definitely want to see Superman looking at the world that way.
I want to see something that is bigger and better than myself so I can say, oh, yeah, maybe there's some hope.
Yeah, especially with a character like Superman.
I feel hopeful.
I want that to be
especially
hopeful.
Especially.
And this is not to come down on any group to say, you know, if you like those new DC films and want them to be dark and that's what you want it to keep being, that's fine and that's your opinion. But this is just my opinion. Like,
yeah.
I would embrace a more open view of the audiences in general to bring in as many as possible to make it, but still maintaining a quality film.
Right.
So, and if that means kind of bringing in more of a Marvel take on it, I'm all for that. Let's make it so that everybody can enjoy these movies and not just a certain group that wants dark superhero films can enjoy it. That taking Superman and putting it into that group, that's a terrible mistake, in my opinion. You cannot play a Superman movie to only the guys that want dark comic films. That's crazy to me.
Right. There could be plenty of dark characters to choose from if you want a dark movie.
There's a Spawn.
Diepold.
There's Diepold and there's Spawn.
Do Spawn.
There's Spawn the movie.
Spawn the movie. Yeah. Go see it.
Holy beep.
Yep.
Holy beep.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's from the
movie.
Extended version. That's the extended version.
Yeah.
Yeah. One more. I have one more thing.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. I have one more thing. This new movie, The Shallows, with Blake Lively in it. Have you seen the trailer for this?
No, uh-uh.
It looks pretty good.
I'm going to keep eating these pretzel things.
Have more. She's, it's basically just her. She gets out on the water somehow on a surfboard, I think, or something.
Oh, yeah?
Like, she gets trapped on this island, but the shark is after her. Hmm. It looks pretty good.
Did you ever watch that movie with her?
It seems a little bit more like, yes, I did, actually.
What did you think of it? Was it good? Did we talk about this?
It was not as good as it could have been. Mm. But it was, I mean, it was watchable. Harrison was cool in it. He didn't do anything cool, but it was just good to see him, you know, on screen, I guess.
Speaking of which, we'll end on this.
Young Harrison.
The guy playing the young Harrison.
Looks like him. He was not in it much. He didn't have many speaking parts.
Yeah.
So maybe he's not up to snuff with his acting, but for what it was, you know, he did a good job.
Disney cannot seem to decide what they're going to do with Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Yep.
It's either Indiana Jones will only be Harrison Ford. That's what they said, just like about a month ago.
That was a statement a month ago, yeah.
Now, well, Indiana Jones will continue after Indiana Jones 5. Indiana Jones 5 is kind of a requel, which is a sequel reboot. So kind of restart the franchise, but also be a sequel to the other ones.
That doesn't make any sense.
And then it'll continue after Indiana Jones 5. With either a different actor playing Indiana Jones or a different group that Indiana Jones started. No.
I don't want the group, for sure, because Indiana Jones, it's not... Unless they call it, you know, the Adventure Club or something like that.
Adventure World.
Adventure World.
Yeah, Adventure Worlds.
Relic World.
Yeah.
I'll watch...
Digging World.
I'll watch Relic World.
I'll watch Digger World.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
I'm sorry. The more I think of it, the more I don't want to ever see anybody else's Indiana Jones.
Right.
We were talking about it before, about what actors we could see playing Indiana Jones. I just don't want anybody else in Indiana Jones. That's it. And I was really... And I know that now because I was so happy when I heard him say, Harrison Ford is Indiana Jones. We don't want anybody else to play Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that solidified it.
I got so happy when I heard that. Like, oh, that's what I wanted. That's what... When I think about other actors and they were talking about it, I was trying to think of somebody that would work... is because I thought that we were going to have somebody.
Right.
So when I heard that we didn't have to have somebody, I was so happy. Like, this is great. We don't ever have to worry about somebody else playing Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Just like the guys that made Back to the Future have said, you'll never see a Back to the Future reboot. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
That makes me so happy to know that Back to the Future is safe, that it won't get rebooted, and it won't have somebody else playing Marty. That's it. Those are safe.
Back to having, you know, videos and digital media of our own. That's the movie. Like, yeah. You don't have to have a franchise. Everything doesn't have to be a franchise that keeps going and going and going and going. Let Indiana Jones be what it is. I'm all for an animated series. I love the idea of an animated series.
Same with Back to the Future. I mean, we already had an animated show.
Right.
But another one would be great. I'd be down for that. Right.
I would even say that if they did a live-action Indiana Jones television show and you had somebody else be him, that's fine because the production quality is a little bit different. You have many episodes. It's like it's its own thing. Television and movies are separate. But to carry on this movie
just
franchise,
like the Ghostbusters cartoon,
right?
I fully embrace it. I love my original Ghostbusters movies. I fully embrace the 80s cartoon.
Yeah.
It's just more adventures. It's slightly different.
It's a little bit different.
It's not the same actors or anything like that. Right. But I can get behind it. I can see this as separate adventures.
It's scary. John Williams is back for doing the music.
Steven Spielballs is back.
Steven Spielballs is directing, which doesn't mean anything to me these days.
It's completely hit or miss.
It's yeah. George Lucas is involved somehow. I guess just as producer, maybe. I don't know.
I hope it's just producer.
Because I think they know. I mean, they have to know that Crystal Skull was not something they want a repeat of.
Hey guys.
I got my treatment for Indiana Jones 5 here.
Guess what, guys?
I know you guys are having a little problem thinking about, is Harrison Ford going to come back for more Indiana Jones? No big deal, because you know what? In my script, he's at the beginning of the movie. The rest is Mav Williams. Mav Williams carries the torch from here on out, literally. From now on, he'll have a torch in all seats to know that he's carried the torch for Indiana Jones.
Yep. Jones. Oh, man, that movie.
Mav Williamson. He's going to be the next star. Mav Williamson.
I don't have a problem with Mutt being in the movie as much as I have a problem with him. Has to be his son. And
swing from vines.
And swinging from the vines and being
he's gotta be a greaser.
He's a greaser plus a fencing master.
He's a fencing master.
He loves
his mom, Maid Marian.
I'll tell you what, man. That movie turns to absolute crap. Midway
the second
through.
Marion shows up.
The midway through, yeah. It's like the tone changes.
Yeah. It's just, and I hate that because I love
did you talk, did
Karen
you,
Allen.
Did you tell everybody that you rewatched that film? Have we talked about
that? I don't
that
know if
yet?
We have talked about it. I did rewatch it.
You
for
saw
the first
it.
Time since yeah. seeing it at the theaters. And boy, is it rough.
I was
with it. I was kind of like, okay, why did I hate this much?
The first 20 minutes of it maybe is like, this isn't so bad.
There's some problems.
There's the fridge
here.
Thing and there's the gopher, which are ridiculous.
And the kind of the blowing up crates inside the thing for no reason, but they're kind of exploding.
Yeah, ridiculous CG stuff. But
yeah, there's some just crazy stuff, but at the same time I watch it, I'm like, I don't understand why I hated this as much as I hated it while watching it, though. These are all things that are bad, but not to the point where I would never be able to watch this film again. And then when Marion shows up, it's just everything just...
Yeah.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
It completely changes.
It's
like
you're embarrassed for everybody in the movie.
Spielberg directed up to that and George took over or something.
Like, I got this, Stevie.
I got it from here on out.
You just rest your Spielballs. I'm taking over. Give me the megaphone. It's just...
Yeah.
Abysmal.
So
just abysmal.
I think they know, let's not do this again. Or at least Spielberg probably knows. Like, oh, yeah, that was a mistake.
Yeah.
But...
You know that George is just pestering him when he heard.
Oh,
that,
I'm sure.
He saw it online when he was at that restaurant in the mall eating his spaghetti.
Yeah.
He was checking his phone and he saw. Wait a second, Harry and Spielballs are doing Indiana Jones 5. Let me check my voicemails.
No calls.
No voicemails. Must be out of service. Better call Stevie.
I think Steven really feels like.
He's forced.
He's
back in the corner.
His relationship with George is, you know, important to him. I think he doesn't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I think...
He probably doesn't. I mean, those videos you see of him when they go and talk about the prequels, and he's interviewed and talks about them too, you can tell he's there for his friend, you
right.
know? Like, he's, oh, this is great, George. This is right. really great, man.
That's why he's saying I'm not going to direct any Star Wars films.
Yeah.
He said he was never do that, and... Yeah, more you. Good for him sticking up for his buddy. If George Lucas was my friend, I would stick up. I
would too.
I would say
if you did horrible films,
George.
I would stick up for you.
That's right.
I would still say, you know, there's some really good stuff in there. Mike puts his heart into it, man.
He's just not arrived yet.
He's gonna get there.
He's gonna get there.
Steven's at his house and George is showing up at night, knocking the door. He's got on like full Indiana Jones outfit. He's like, I'm ready for filming, buddy. Let's get this movie going.
Yeah.
Well, George. We were just gonna. Me and Harrison were just gonna. And then he gets like that mopey dog look on his face.
Yeah.
What? Just you and Harrison? No room for three?
The same
room for three, buddy. You're in. You're in. Okay.
The same. I'll tell you what, George. We really need a producer on this. if you could just fork over some money and just oversee and just make sure that's what we really need.
You're the top dog, my friend.
And if you could stay here and watch the fort. While we go out into the woods where it's dangerous, if you stay here and watch the fort...
Somebody's got to answer these calls.
That's what we really need.
So if you can answer these calls during the day and let people know what's going on with the film,
yes.
You've got a really important job, buddy.
Yeah.
Really important, okay?
Perfect. is the Crystal Skull scriptwriter the one who's writing the script for the new movie? That's not a good sign.
But remember that that's based off a story by George Lucas. George Lucas had final story approval for the whole thing.
True, but that script was... Not good
it
either.
Was crap.
But
he also wrote The Shadow, which I think I really
okay.
was really good. And there was a couple other films that he wrote that were really good films still.
Okay.
We'll
see. So. That movie, 2019.
There's a ways off.
That's 3 years. I'm sorry, that seems risky.
It's risky.
But Okay, we'll talk
and
more about that.
How risky is this episode? An hour 15? Nobody's going to make it through it.
We'll talk more about that when the time comes. But until then, we are back. That's right.
Yep.
No more long waits.
No more long waits.
And next time is going to be more fun.
Yeah.
And the time after that's going to be more fun, too.
There's some fun stuff in here. The Fancy Pants talk.
I love the Fancy Pants.
You know?
I love Fancy Pants.
Little George Lucas mixing in there.
Loves George. George is wearing a Fancy Pants. Maybe George wrote the script for Fancy
Maybe
Pants.
Maybe he did.
I've got a great idea.
Guy's a businessman. Wants to reconnect with his family, kind of like me.
I'm trying to reconnect with my family.
How can I reconnect with my family? Maybe if I turned into a dog?
What about a cat?
How about a cat? Mr. Fancy Whiskers. Mr. Fancy Whiskers.
He dresses as a cat and like meets up with his family and stuff. Yeah. Like, it was a full cat costume. Right.
Hey, Jet Lucas, my son. I'm a cat. Want to hang out with your dad, the cat?
Yeah.
He's going to try and reconnect with Harrison and Steven dressed as a cat.
I'm just a cat on the set.
Running around on Nimbly Pimbly.
Nimbly Pimbly.
He's licking his paws and stuff. I've got 5 days to reconnect with you guys. I'm stuck as this cat.
George is going to be involved in the film. He's the set pet. He's going to be the pet on set.
Set pet.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's good. That's a good idea.
I would imagine George Lucas on every filming, just sitting there on standby as a cat.
Yeah.
Trying to reconnect. All right.
All right, this has been
Fancy Pants.
This has been James and Mike in our Fancy Pants. Until next time.